Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, is this the end of Strava? They are suing the behemoth that is Garmin, demanding that they stop selling all their fitness product. But what does it really mean for the end user? We will discuss.
Plus, we have ultra endurance news, how bike theft is being decriminalised in the UK, as new tech from Specialised, and a question to all of you on where we should go next. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt what happens when Mathieu van der Poel shows up to your weekly group ride. Because that is exactly what happened last week in LA.
Yeah, he gate-crashed the legendary Pandas Ponies ride. It is legendary, don't get me wrong. When he was out in California, basically catching up with some of his sponsors like Zwift and Oakley, and generally having a lovely time doing a sport of golfing.
Hard life, really, isn't
yeah.
it? We also learned that it's possible to ride up the Eiffel Tower, and in fact, there's a record for doing so.
But would we say ride? I mean, French trial star Aurélien Fontenoy hopped up 686 steps on his bike in 12 minutes and 30 seconds.
Short.
Yeah, I mean, that is quick, isn't it? Yeah, breaking the hour-going record by over 6 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, finally, we learned that Strava has sued Garmin.
And yes, you heard that right. Strava has sued Garmin, almost certainly their most important and biggest long-term partner.
Yeah, so this news was picked up last week by DC Rainmaker, who he always has his finger on the pulse on these sort of things. And in his article and his video, he says, Strava are demanding that Garmin cease selling effectively all of their fitness / outdoor watches, as well as their cycling computers.
I feel like I should say the same thing again. Yes, you heard that correctly. Strava are asking Garmin to stop selling any product that can contribute to segments or heat maps, which effectively means they are asking Garmin to stop selling all of their fitness products.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop there either. So on top of that, they're asking for Garmin to remove a number of features from Garmin Connect, claiming that they are infringing two patents. Now, one on global heat maps and one on segments, both of which they've effectively worked on in partnership together, haven't they really,
yeah.
for over a decade?
It's a big lawsuit, isn't it? Make no bones about that. But before we get into the details, I sort of feel like we need to try and define the two companies as sort of succinctly as possible. I would say that Strava is the social media of fitness, and it takes users' exercise data to kind of gamify the experience.
Like through segments? Yes.
Yeah,
I'd go along with that, Dan. Yeah.
Oh, thanks very much, mate. Whilst Garmin, meanwhile, speaking specifically about its fitness products, is a tech manufacturing company with GPS at its core that both generates exercise data for users, but also includes a sophisticated training app.
I'd say that also sounds like a decent summary.
Slightly less succinct.
Possibly.
But I think I got there in the end. So two different companies who have an overlap and, I guess, a common interest, and one that has, until now at least, been mutually very beneficial, shall I say, to both of them.
Yeah. I mean, it is good that you clarified who Strava and Garmin are to our viewers.
Yeah.
The two, like, some of the biggest brands in the world of not just cycling.
I just feel like we need to set things out here before we dive into the rest of this lawsuit, etc.
Fair. Right. Now, we should probably ask the question about how beneficial that is, that arrangement you just mentioned. We don't know the exact details of how many Strava uploads come from Garmin devices, but we can get a good idea through Strava's annual Year in Sport reports.
Yep. We've been doing research, Simon.
Well, you have, Dan.
Oh, I have, yeah. Thank you.
I can't take the credit.
So by volume, the most popular activity uploaded to Strava in 2023 was running. 1.1 billion uploads. Walking and hiking was second.
And that's partly down to you, isn't it? Because you, like an absolute weirdo, also upload your walks.
I do, like many others.
Sorry, yeah, not wishing to offend anyone. But.
But then in third was cycling, with 707 million uploads that year. Those numbers have almost undoubtedly increased since 2023, but it really gives us an idea as to how their user base is divided.
Yeah, now we can also see the most popular devices for running and cycling. So in running, Garmin is the third most popular sports watch with their Forerunner 245. Apple Watch is taking the top two spots. Mm-hmm. And then in cycling, Garmin actually hold the top two spots with their Edge 530 and 820, whilst Wahoo are in third with their Bolt.
And that is based on data from their 2024 Year in Sport report, but also the mid-year findings reported in August of this year. So, it is safe to say that the current seamless integration of Garmin into Strava is quite a substantial proportion of their uploads and I guess therefore their business.
Yeah, now, should Garmin and Strava completely fall out and that seamless integration ceases to exist, there will undoubtedly be fanatics who will spend time taking the multiple steps needed to get their activity file from their Garmin product onto Strava, a bit like the old days.
Yeah.
But then I imagine that's going to be a very small number of people, isn't it?
In the bigger scheme of things, I would say yes, really small number. Because most people just, they're not going to bother, frankly, are they?
They're not. And then you'd expect a significant reduction in Strava uploads, wouldn't you? And probably active Strava users as well, given that, as you pointed out earlier, they're primarily a social media app. Any kind of reduction in users and uploads, that's not good. No, particularly as rumours suggest that they're planning on floating on the stock market in the near future. And also, since they also have a subscription-based product that they're encouraging users to pay for.
No, not good at all, really, is it?
No, it really isn't good.
Meanwhile, for Garmin, it's also not great, is it? Our research suggests that around a quarter of their sales and profits come from their fitness-specific products and services. That goes up to around 60 to 70% when you add in outdoor multi-sport devices and services. However, the question is, how many of those customers would a disintegration of Strava really upset? I mean, probably not many as a percentage. How many are then going to jump through hoops to get their Garmin files uploaded to Strava? As we said earlier, probably not that many at all.
But would you buy a new Garmin if it didn't work with Strava, but yet every other head unit, like a Wahoo, does?
Personally, no.
No.
Because if there are other head units that do that seamlessly, they integrate, then you'd go for one of them, presumably.
Yeah, so it would erode their future business, wouldn't it, potentially? Mm. Anyway, if the two companies completely fall out, the question is, who wins?
Wahoo, based on what you've just said,
well,
I guess.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
Or Hammerhead, or whoever. But to answer your question in seriousness, maybe neither of those two companies win, and maybe they both lose. But I would say if I took an educated guess, also by looking at the comments on the DC Rainmakers YouTube video, I'd say Strava would be the biggest loser of the two because a lot of people are saying that they would simply stop using it if push comes to shove.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could see that. Like, in that one sells hardware and has free software, right? The other is software, some of which you've got to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a paid-for part of Garmin Connect, I think.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
No.
It's been a while since I've used it. Anyway, before we continue, let's put it out to you lot. Genuine question, would you continue using Strava if your Garmin no longer auto-uploaded? Because we'd be very interested to know, so get involved in the comments section down below.
The more I think about it, the more I think Strava are shooting themselves in the foot and not shooting Garmin's foot at the same time. I mean, if there's a significant reduction in uploads, the Strava platform is going to be quieter, isn't it, for want of a better term. There are going to be fewer comments, fewer competitive segments, and fewer kudos, which, let's face it, is all we do it for, really, isn't it, the kudos?
Yeah, we've got told off for this before. Kudos.
Oh, is it? Oh,
well, on one side of the Atlantic, it's kudos. I thought you only did it for the comms. Anyway, not the kudos.
Well, at a point in my life when I was capable of getting comms, I used to do it for them, but now I just get my personal validation through kudos.
Kudos. When you're walking. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I get quite a lot of kudos on my walks.
Do you?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Well, you lot would be very interested to know. Dan was telling me about how many frogs he saw the other night on his walk.
I mean, it delayed filming, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, actually. Yeah, yeah. 15 frogs, if you're wondering. All
in,
on one gravel.
Half an hour. I mean, if we filmed the pre-show, it would go viral.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. 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 We should do that one day. Anyway, I guess the other risk to Strava is that Garmin users start to investigate and learn about alternative platforms, like we said, right? Plus, this might well prompt Garmin to increase the functionality and ease of their own platform, Garmin Connect.
Well, quite possibly, you'd imagine, wouldn't you? But we're getting into proper speculation territory,
I would say, at this point,
because it's not happened just yet. Now, we should probably also point out that unless Garmin retaliates to this by removing their API to Strava, there is going to be no effect at all on customers who currently use both products.
Yeah. Now, will they retaliate, though? Publicly, no. DC Rainmaker pointed out Garmin never fights their battles in public. But then, they also rarely lose patent disputes.
Do you know who the real winners of all of this are?
Go on.
The lawyers.
Oh, man. Yes. The lawyers.
They're going to make a lot of money, the lawyers, aren't they?
Yeah, not going to be cheap, is it? Yeah.
Another thing worth mentioning is that Strava's chief product officer, Matt Salitzer, decided to post on Reddit's site. He did that last week.
Confident move.
Explain things from Strava's point of view. He did, yeah.
Wowzers. Do you think he had permission to do that?
I think he went rogue. I was surprised to see it.
Yeah, how did it go down anyway?
Well, I think you can probably guess, even without reading the replies. Anyway, in that post, he said that their action is in response to Garmin's new developer guidelines, which essentially require a Garmin logo to be on basically anything that's shared on a third-party app from a Garmin device, and that they threatened to cut access to their API if those apps, such as Strava, didn't comply with their new guidelines by November the 1st.
Isn't there something on Strava already that says what device that logo is?
Yeah, exactly, there is. So it's kind of already there, and I guess it just has to be a logo rather than the plain text that it currently is. Anyway, Salitzer also said that they consider it to be their users' data rather than Garmin's, and that went down like a lead balloon, Si. Because as one Redditor pointed out, only last year, Strava weaponized users' data and their API against others.
Can you just imagine Salazar going into work the morning after he'd done that?
If he hadn't got permission to do it.
Well, he'd be like, so guys, I went on Reddit last night. Oh yeah, cool, how did it go? Yeah, not so good. Did you convince people of why we're doing it? Not so much, no. Anyway.
Did you get much kudos?
it probably was a strenuous activity for him. Anyway, should we say in conclusion, it's just all a bit of willy-waggling. Isn't it, basically?
Essentially, yeah. I think that's probably quite a succinct way to sum the whole thing up in what we said in the last 10 minutes, isn't it? Anyway, we would obviously love your thoughts on this. Please let us know what your opinion on the whole saga is and who you think's going to win the willy-waggling competition.
Yeah, and will any of us benefit?
I doubt it,
yeah. But we look forward to reading your comments anyway. But here are a few that Dan spotted on Reddit. So Antosaurus said, with all this chat over the last few days, I've realised that I don't get heaps out of my subscription, so I cancelled it today.
That was a Strava subscription.
Ouchie.
Car_Mitt, I like Strava, but they very little value over Garmin. It's a fun way to socialise a bit, but Garmin is the core of my fitness tracking and likely always will be.
Yeah, and those two were both from the Strava subreddit.
Yes, they were, yeah from the Strava one.
Whilst on the Garmin one, in response to Salazar's post, Bobby, Andy and Fries said, if you look at the comments, Strava has done similar things to this. All of these companies only care about their profitability. None of them really care about our experience, so long as we keep coming back.
Mm. And then just finally, KJLCM put, love Strava, have lots of friends there and I visit every day. If this were to happen, I would drop my premium subscription immediately and walk away, no doubt in my mind.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
Just before we finish with this, I do feel like I should also say, I looked through a hell of a lot of comments on Reddit and underneath DC Rainmaker's YouTube video, and I specifically tried to search ones that were kind of pro-Strava in this whole thing, just to try and give a perspective from the public on both sides. I genuinely couldn't find any.
I wonder why that is. As in, do you think it's because Strava are acting in a way that's pissing people off, or do you think that there's just a little bit less, I don't know, like trust, a bit less brand equity, without wishing to sound too pompous?
Well, I think last year's API thing that we just talked about a moment ago, I think that scarred a few people. But then I guess it's whoever takes the lawsuit action. So in this case, it is Strava, even though it's kind of in retaliation to some of Garmin's new guidelines. In public, it's Strava that's taking this action, and therefore that could affect the integration of their products into Strava. And so people are just annoyed about it.
Hmm. What with this week, and then SRAM trying to sue the UCI last week. I'm quite intrigued to know who's going to be suing who next week.
Yeah, we might get sued, Si.
What have we done?
Well, I don't know yet. We'll find out.
Okay, fingers crossed.
I'll tell you who's not going to win if anyone sues us is the lawyers, because we don't have much money to pay them, do we?
Yeah.
We'll just lose.
Just walk away.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling shorts now. I'm going to start with the news that the Norwegian rider Alexander Kristoff has retired from pro racing. So he turned pro in 2010 and then finished his career two victories short of 100, having been forced to pull out of the Tour de Langkawi due to a crash.
Had you put my pro victories with Alexander Kristoff's, he still wouldn't have got to 100. But it got to 99, wouldn't he? Anyway, it seems like quite a frustrating way, really, for him to end his career. But I'm sure he won't lose any sleep over it, given that he's also won the Tour of Flanders, Milan-San Remo, Gent-Wevelgem, and four stages of the Tour de France.
Nice work, basically. Right, we wish him all the best for the future. Bit of gravel racing, maybe, do you think, in his future?
He'd be good at gravel racing, wouldn't
he? I mean, he would. Like,
he's got a big engine.
He could annihilate Unbound. And I know that's going to annoy Unbound hardcore fans, but...
Do you know what he could do in gravel racing?
What?
A negative split.
Could he?
Successful.
I've heard they're very hard to get down.
But I think he could nail it.
Could he get it at the Sea Otter gravel racing?
No.
I don't know. Right, next up, some ultra endurance to use now, featuring none other than the legend Kilian Jornet. Now, admittedly, he is rather more legendary for running than cycling, where he is... I mean, he's not a legend at all, is he? But he has just had to cycle a bloody long way as part of his latest adventure.
So he set out with the ambition of climbing 72 of the 14,000 feet peaks in the USA in just 31 days, only using human power. So that also meant riding 2,568 miles to join them all up, including some big days, actually, like 242 miles with plenty of gravel.
Yeah, and to be clear, he also ran 600 miles... as part of that, and I think it was like, I don't want to completely make it up, but I think it was over 100,000 metres of ascent or something.
Wow.
Stupid. Yeah, it was absolutely mind-blowing. Anyway, Lachlan Morton, over to you, mate. I mean, honestly, people are doing some truly bonkers things at the moment. I sort of wonder where it's going to stop.
Well, if any of them go to do the Sea Otter drone a gravel race, they'll just stop there. It doesn't get much harder than that. You and I are going to try and do something about it, though, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Set a record so incredible, it will stop anyone from bothering to ever do anything again.
Not quite that.
No.
No, we're definitely not talking about that. We are going to go for a nice ride somewhere.
Yeah.
No data, no nothing.
No.
And then just see what happens. We wanted to ask for your suggestions as to where we go. It's probably going to be around the end of November, we think, isn't it? So preferably somewhere in Europe. But where would be the ultimate place to just ride and have fun doing so?
It's going to be a tough challenge, this one, isn't it?
Really tough, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be the end of our careers, Si.
Yeah.
But I feel like with all the training I've been doing, I'll be up to this huge challenge.
Yeah. And just to check, will this be on work time, like all of your other
recent
rides? Yeah, okay, good.
Like, even if it's a long ride, we start at 9, we finish at 5:30.
Brilliant, I'm in. Okay. Definitely. Right, in tech news now, Specialized have just launched a new Athos, which is their ultralight road bike that sort of spearheaded the resurgence of interest, didn't it, in ultralight bikes.
It is still the lightest out there, apparently, at 5.98 kilos off the shelf. They've now incorporated such luxuries as integrated cables.
Ooh.
The geometry has also changed, so that it's now not the same as the Tarmac, which is their race bike. So it's a slightly taller at the front to allow to fit more riders.
Yeah, now some sad news from the industry, and CSS, who is the parent company of Forge and Bond Wheels, has ceased operations, completely closed. They were also making rims for a bunch of other brands, like Chris King and Bontrager as well. Now, as well as people being out of work as a result of this, the other sad bit was their more environmentally friendly construction compared to typical carbon fibre. So that feels like a bit of a loss.
It does feel sad. And there's also some sad news from here in the UK. The British Transport Police...
See it, say it, sorted, Dan.
That's the one. Except that now they won't sort it. Ba-boom.
No.
If it's a bike, they won't sort it.
I mean, this genuinely strikes me as being really crap. Okay, so for context, for everyone who's not in the UK, the British Transport Police and their amazing slogan cover UK railways and stations, and they announced last week that they would no longer be investigating bike thefts where the bike had been left for more than 2 hours, which I would guess at a station is quite a high proportion of them.
Probably quite a few, isn't
it?
Now, in some people's eyes, you can definitely see the logic here, this effectively decriminalises bike theft, i.e. you can steal a bike from a station and nobody's going to do anything.
I mean, it kind of is true, right? Yeah, it totally sucks. I can see the logic of the British Transport Police as well, though, to be fair, given that bike thefts, they say, very rarely end in convictions, but take up a huge amount of time for the police. But then having to make that call in the first place to just stop pursuing criminals is also just rubbish for them. So, yeah, sucks all round, really. But we do have a video coming out this week, which should help for anyone who needs to lock their bike up. So do make sure you check that one out.
Next up, some racing news, which is what we're going to finish Cycling Shorts with. Isaac Del Toro of UAE continued his run of form in Italian one-day races by winning the Giro dell'Emilia ahead of Tom Pidcock. Meanwhile, at the European Championships, Demi Vollering took her first ever international title with an impressive win after a long-range solo attack.
I mean, I'm not doubting you, but that's
unbelievable, isn't it?
It is unbelievable.
In fact,
she's
only had one previous medal in an international championship road race, and that was at the World Championships in 2023.
No way.
So yeah, it was going to come at some point. I was just surprised it hadn't already happened.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All eyes were also on the men's race, where there was a much-anticipated face-off between not just Pogacar and Evenepoel, but also Vingegaard as well. However, that too ended with a long-range solo attack, and it was a long-range solo attack by you-know-who. Pogacar.
Evenepoel did put up a decent fight, though, I'd say, on the day.
Yeah.
Although effectively then got ridden off the wheel. But then Vingegaard, he was a different story. He got dropped while there was still a significant number of people in the peloton, I would say. Probably about 30.
Do we know why?
No. It was sort of inexplicable, really, because there's no pressure on Jonas Vingegaard to do the European Championships. I would imagine not from his nation, nor from the team Visma Lisa bike either. And so you can only imagine he went there with the aim of being competitive. So to get dropped at that point, I just don't know what happened.
Do you think he was trying to do a negative split?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he's still going and gradually up in the power. I think we should also mention third place in the day was Paul Sexas of France, because he just turned 19 a few days before that race. And he was right up there with Pogacar and Evenepoel for a time.
That is impressive.
Obviously, he got dropped and he did finish over 3 minutes behind Evenepoel. But nevertheless, at that age, do you know what Pogacar was doing at that age?
Playing computer games?
Well, probably. But in terms of racing, he finished 20th at the U23 Worlds in Bergen, just one day after his 19th birthday.
Serious?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no guarantee that Sexas is going to make the same amount of improvements that Pogacar made from the same age to where he's at now. But he doesn't really need to, because he's already far ahead at the same time.
That's a good fact, that. Nice.
One more piece of news that came in just before we started recording the show is that Israel Premier Tech will no longer be known as Israel Premier Tech from next year. The team put out a press release saying that they were going to have a change of branding ahead of 2026, and that their financier, Silman Adams, is stepping back from his role within the team.
Interesting. Presumably they need to drop that name ASAP, don't they? Or are they?
Well, they've already been ousted, for want of a better word, from a number of the Italian one-day classics that finished this season. I guess they were in a position of no choice, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and their sponsors, as we said last week, were threatening to pull out.
Yeah, Factor and Premier Tech.
Crikey.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe more on that next week when we've got the full story. Next up, Hack. /Bodge of the Week, globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader to get involved in this part of the show. We'll start this week with this one from Andy72, who put the Zwift Ride Project. I picked up a Zwift Click and Cog for £10 in the July sale, then bought a second-hand bike for £40. I removed the brakes, cables and front derailleur, added new bar tape and vinyl wrapped it, £20. The fork is 90 centimetres of 28.6mm aluminium tube with a clamp, headset, race and staff angled nut, that totaled £20. Finished with a 3D printed cover and foot for my old Elite Steerzo. Finally, I replaced the shifters with 3D printed models with a mount for the click.
I tell you what, mate, I am impressed with that. So all in, what we're saying, that's about £100, at least from stuff that Andy's told us.
Is that why you're going like that, doing arithmetic?
I got my calculator out earlier on. But that looks so cool, doesn't it? What an incredible way to build an indoor bike.
Yeah, fantastic.
I love it.
I really like that. Although if you zoom in on the left 3D printed hood, it sort of looks like Captain Bird's Eye or something.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the hoods necessarily look the absolute best, but pretty cool. I also, given that a large proportion of the budget has gone into vinyl wrapping, I want to know what bike's underneath that. Do you know what I mean? £20.
This is the whole point of the click and cog, isn't it? We put a social video about this. You can pretty much use any bike on it because you don't need to change gears. It's all done virtually. So
have you seen the little Zwift Z on the chainset as well?
Oh, nice touch,
isn't it?
Almost looks like a power meter.
Isn't it? Well, you don't need.
It's all color coded as well, isn't it? Look at the bar tape. There's Wift Z on the chain set and the cog and click at the back there.
I mean, that is a proper good. Nice job, Andy. Yeah. Hack, 100%.
Absolute hack.
Absolute hack. Yeah, that's a new category as of this week. this one, I'm going to reserve judgment until I've seen Mervin. Oh, you put it in brackets. Thank you.
Can everyone do that?
Well, yeah. My Welsh is very good, Dan, but probably, you know, good to be.
What were you
careful.
About to say, Mervin?
No, that was a the.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's not go there. So this, for podcast listeners, looks like a winter shoe with, I'm going to say that's like electrical tape wrapped over the cuff. Mm. So anyway, Mervin says, hi there, guys. Love showing your videos. Yes. I hear I have repurposed a pair of Velo Toes overshoes to create a gaiter for my winter shoes to make a watertight seal to stop any water from running into them on wet road / gravel rides. They've worked a treat so far, and although the original overshoes only lasted a few rides, they've still cost less than buying dedicated gaiters. You know what? That is cool. I'm impressed with that.
Are you?
I am, really. Well, so like, it's the trouble with like a fully waterproof winter boot is that it's great in that it stops water coming up from the road and things, but water, as Mervin says, drips down your leg into the boot. Yeah. And so whilst you still stay warm, you are also wet. So this looks absolutely wicked.
I'm going to reserve judgment because, like you, Si, I've never found anything that prevents water getting into your feet on a wet ride.
Well, Mervin's just told us he's sorted it out.
Well, okay.
Well, it's a treat, he says.
I'm going to say hack then. Maybe he's just done a couple of 2-minute rides in the rain.
I mean, the photo looks quite wet.
It does, to be fair, yeah. That must have been at the end of the 2 minutes. All right, we'll go hack, shall we?
Yeah, I think hack, yeah. And I might try it. I'll
give it a go. Report back.
Maybe there's an even better hack where you can use like a mountain bike inner tube or something. It's the same thing, just like
yeah,
a bit of rubber.
You might need to use a motorbike in a tube.
Fat bike in a tube, yes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. This one comes in from Eugene. But no gears, broken gear cable housing fix. I work as a casual bike mechanic for Revolve Recycling at council eco events. We run a free bike check and tune service at these events. Yesterday at the St. Ives event in Sydney, a dad and his son came in for a check and tune. Problem was, only one gear on the 6-speed kids bike worked, presumably. Reason, the outer hosing of the gear cable was split and the cable was coming out of the housing at the broken part, meaning the outer layer bent instead of pulling the inner cable. My fix was a splint, and after not finding anything suitable in the toolkit, I found a stick on the ground and used it as a splint at the broken cable outer and plenty of cable ties / zip ties sign. It worked and the boy had all 6 gears again.
Well, it was effectively a roadside fix, so therefore, despite the use of 5 zip ties.
I should read out Eugene's final sentence as well. I did say to them that you need to bring it to your local bike shop to get it changed properly.
Yeah, I like that. I like that ingenuity. That is very cool. And also, he's not cut the ends of the zip ties, so he doesn't have 5 lethal blades sticking at the front of his bike. Because as we all know, there is nothing on the planet sharper than a cut zip tie. So, I think that's a hack, mate.
3 hacks from 3 so far.
All right. Next. Oh, dear. I've just seen the picture. Jabber. Broken boa fixed with inner tube. No zip ties. So, this, for podcast listeners, is a picture of a shoe. And at the top, where you might normally see a boa, we have an inner tube wrapped around several times and tied in a knot. So, anyway, Jabba says, had a puncture last week on descent of Port de Valdemosa in Mallorca. At the bottom of the ride, a mate broke his boa. Way too much power or old shoes, not sure which. Fixed with the about-to-be-discarded inner tube. It was more than good enough to do another 70k and get us back to our base in Alaro. Shoe fixed free of charge the next day by bike shop Tony at Northwind Cycles.
Yeah, that is
worth a
shout.
And then he says, sign, no zip ties were used in this hack. I mean, I suppose, well, do you know what I'm actually thinking? Like, why? Why do you need to do that? Like, your shoe isn't going to fall off.
Doesn't tend to, but he does point out that his mate might have a lot of power. Maybe he's doing sprint training on the way back.
Yeah.
But you are right. If you have that front bit of Velcro there, it's unlikely your foot's going to come out of the shoe.
It is unlikely, but, you know, it was a broken inner tube, so...
And a broken shoe.
I guess we've got to say that is a roadside hack.
I'll tell you what is a hack. Tony at Northwind Cycles for repairing the shoe free of charge. Well done, Tony.
Yeah, it is cool, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's what we like. Right, we've got another one.
Have we?
Yeah, we have.
We've had five this week.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Tor Peterson.
Well, this is presumably because we've had four hacks out of four so far, so we need one crap one.
Wheel replacement base. Okay. After retiring this old aluminium Trek bike to do my Zwift pain cave, I decided I no longer needed a front wheel, so I decided to design and build a permanent front fork base that attaches directly into a rocker plate. The base is made from three angled 2x4s, a plywood base and a fork mount. The base is bolted into the rocker plate, creating a base that doesn't swivel or shift when riding. Painted it black to better match my red and black bike. The ride is extremely stable, especially when sprinting. Let me know what you think.
I mean, it is pretty good, isn't it, to be fair? It's definitely not a bodge. Yeah, I mean, that is a nice-looking bit of...
That looks so sturdy.
Woodwork, yes.
Doesn't it?
The colour coordination is on point. Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that.
How do you... Oh, well, the black part, you mean? Yeah.
Well, and the red bit.
Well, what's it coordinated with?
He said his bike was black and red.
Oh, did he? I missed that. I read that bit out, but didn't listen to myself.
Oh my goodness, yeah. All right, well done, Tor. I think we got 5 out of 5 this week.
All right, should we go to a sixth then? Find a bodge. No, that's the end of it for this week.
Yeah, keep your submissions coming in, as Dan said. What's the uploader
address? globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Yeah, I listen to you every week say it, but don't listen. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the week where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second after we've read out the results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one from the World Championships in Rwanda, where Remco Evenepoel threw a strop and kicked a bottle down the road. Our winner this week is Dave Moss, who put Caption Competition... Remco Evenepoel!
Nice. And I think that was well delivered. That line.
That's the first time in months.
Remco Evenepoel! Yeah, good point.
I've delivered anything.
Yeah,
well.
Fantastic.
In Caption Competition. Get in touch with us on Facebook, Dave, with your address. We'll send the bottle out too. This week's photo comes from the podium at the Sparks and Munsterland Giro from last week. It is a picture, for those of you listening on podcast, of Arno Dalí, Jasper Philipsen, and I don't even know who's in third, that's embarrassing, a picnic post and L rider. And they've all got huge beers.
Are
we getting started? This must be the litre zone.
Sorry, what?
This must be the litre zone.
Oh, as in like litre zone?
Yeah.
But litre?
Yeah.
Because they've got big beers?
Yeah.
Ah, I see what you did, mate. That was great.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, well done. Arnold Dalí looks striking like Cadel Evans here at first glance. What, with his Lotto jersey
on the podium? He looks on the bike, I have to say.
Yeah.
Right, name check. Pavel Bittner. I knew that. That's annoying.
Yeah, of course you did, mate. Yeah. Dan sends his apologies, Pavel.
Just before we let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, we're going to read out a few of our favourite comments, as we do every week, Si, don't we?
Yes.
Underneath last week's videos. Now, we'll start underneath last week's GCN show.
Yes.
Where JackRabbit49 wrote in and said, at 29.40 through the show, Si and Dan completely missing the music references, in brackets, Fort Minor, remember the name. Ehermovich526. I've really not done that very well, I don't think.
I think the 526 bit was right.
That was right, yeah. I think it's made up of five things. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, and 50% pain. Lol.
I mean, Jack, you are not the only one to write in last week, but I just want to say, we, of course, didn't miss the reference, did we? No, we
The sheer volume of comments about this, I think, really highlights the level of acting that we've got to, Si.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Interestingly, did you know that 300 million views on that track, there's over 300 million views on YouTube?
Yeah, because when we were researching this to find out what the track was that neither of us had heard of.
Yeah.
We realised it wasn't quite as niche.
It wasn't as niche, no.
I think it was 370 million views, Si.
Yes, yeah. So it turns out...
One of which was not either of us.
No, Fort Minor are quite popular, yeah.
I have heard the song before.
Oh, yeah, here we go. I have. It was just, you know, it was on one of my mixes of, you know, like cool, like, music that I put together for myself.
I don't know where I heard it. I had heard it before. I don't know the lyrics. I didn't know I was reading them out.
No, anyway, it makes the comment from last week even better, doesn't it? So there we go. Sumafan says, the only problem I can see... All right, back pedal. So last week we suggested that one possible way for the UCI to slow down the Pro Peloton was to make everyone use the same tyres that you could then effectively make slower. And you could literally slow the Peloton down by as many Ks as an hour as you want. Sumafan said, the only problem I can see with the tyre thing is which tyre manufacturer is going to want to sign up for being known for slow tyres. It's kind of a fair point, I guess.
Yeah. I've got no reply to that. I don't know which brand would like to be associated with that. Emerson Resender said, terrible idea to have only one sponsor for tyres. Unlike F1, bike tyres are sold to regular consumers. If only one manufacturer is responsible for tyres in the top of the sport, that is most certainly going to create a monopoly and hurt consumers.
I don't necessarily completely agree with that. Yeah, but I don't agree with it personally. But equally, I could see that, like... I don't know. There were a few people that supported our suggestion as well.
That's good. Yeah. I'm surprised you found any comments that were about those lyrics.
Yeah, basically. Right, underneath the video where Naomi, one of our chums here at GCN Megabase, tried out clipless pedals for the first time. Quite a lot of positive comments, Dan, / all of them. Yeah. Overwhelmingly.
Flock G9800 put, this is so inspiring. I want to try it again after a year of not trying clip this because of a bad fall. Thank you, GCN and Naomi. Life Adventures put, she needs to be in more content, excellent video, and a bundle of energy. She's like that all the time.
She is,
she?
Yeah. Teaching Bird, Naomi is wonderful to watch, so enthusiastic and happy. But this one from Erlendersmari, anyway. He said, why is this called clipless pedals in English when one clearly clips into the pedals? And we did have quite a long chat in the office about whether we should say, I tried clip-in pedals or clipless pedals. And as you can see, we went for clipless pedals.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to toe clips and straps, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we really probably should change collectively, but...
Yeah, because only us two dinosaurs remember the reasoning behind the initial name of clipless pedals, don't we? How many Tour de France mountains can Ollie climb in 24 hours? Deki9995, but stunning video and love the dramatic music. You also discovered the whole purpose of cycling, not about speed, watch saved, aero sock, wax chains. It's about freedom. Yeah. Mike Marin Ojax, but Ollie's enthusiasm continues to be boundless. His sanity continues to be in question.
I mean, that was a big ride, wasn't it? A really very big ride.
Another big ride.
Yeah, for Ojax. Well, speaking of big rides.
Bigger.
The biggest from the weekend. Dan Sea Otter Gravel Race. Rob Jones, thought he'd like this one. Great job, Dan. Riding as you age is about the journey, not the time. So ride because you enjoy it. Mm. Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're doing late November, isn't it?
Well, that is true, yeah. I'm doing it just to help you out, but I'm still not there, yeah. Frederick Basque, so proud of you, Dan. You finished where most would have quit. I hope this doesn't turn you off from riding because you're an inspiration. That's pretty nice, isn't it?
Did you pull these comments out?
I did, yeah. Yeah? I mean, I honestly tried pretty hard to find one that wasn't overwhelmingly positive. But yeah, M. Staples, I thought was interesting. He said, I'm putting my entire inheritance on Dan to win.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say to that. I hope you haven't.
I think if you're going to do something along those lines, you're going to stand much better chance if you just put it all on red.
Yeah.
Down the roulette table. No, that's not advice, obviously.
No, yeah. Basically. How are you feeling about Sunday's race?
Well, I think, did I mention this last week, that it...
You accidentally realised that it's 60 kilometres longer than you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be about 6 hours or 6.5 hours for me.
Negative split?
I think I'm going to have... Well, not negative, but I'm going to have to start slowly.
Hey.
6.5 hours trying to... Yeah.
You'll be quicker than that, mate.
You did it in 5.5.
Yeah, I did not cover myself in glory last year. I did not go quick.
Oh, did you not?
No. So you'll be all right.
Okay. Sorry. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, do you know what this is?
Oh, yeah.
I can feel myself getting sick.
Oh, dear. If
Dan doesn't ride the Gravel World Champs, you know why.
Yeah. Excuses start coming out.
Like my glands are coming
on the GCM show. No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm heading over on Friday, racing on Sunday.
And you got a wig, man.
I might finish racing before Monday.
Yeah, Alex Payton is heading out there with Dan to hunt out some hot new tech, which is very exciting. And also do your bottles as well, I think.
Yeah.
And he's written his pep talk already.
Has he?
Oh, yeah.
We've got a team meeting, have we?
Yep.
All right, then, what's coming up on the channel this week? On Thursday, no one ever tells you this about bike locks. This is the video that Si was alluding to earlier.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Not many people tell you about bike locks. I certainly didn't know. And then on Saturday, so a bit of backstory to this one. Last time we filmed with the giant, the superhuman bodybuilder turned gladiator here in the UK, and we tried to make him ride up a 25% hill, and he gave it his best efforts and couldn't get up. He said, do you know what would be really interesting? It would be to make one of you lot, i.e. us, weigh the same as him. Could we ride up the same climb that he tried to ride up? So that was precisely what we did. We took a load of weight vests and ankle weights, and then tried to ride up a hill. And then we also did it to the world's best climber, whereupon we basically doubled his entire body weight to see whether
and you feel
it. Yeah.
And how much does the gladiator weigh?
Fair, I think Jamie was about 140 kilos. We couldn't get that much because we didn't want to go over the weight limit of our bikes, which was 125. So I think that's what we went up to.
Okay, so I think for American viewers, that's something in excess of 300 pounds, isn't it?
Yeah, about that.
It's heavy.
It's big. Yeah. There's a lot to them. So that'd be interesting to see.
Sticking with climbing hills, a few of us did some hill climbs last Sunday. Didn't we,
Simon? Yeah, we did, yeah.
And you're going to find out who currently is the fastest GCN climber. But you can't wait for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, that brings an end to this week's GCN Racing News Show. Thanks for watching.
I wouldn't say it was a racing news show, mate.
Crikey. GCN show. Can't believe we made these mistakes after 12 years.
I can't believe you made that mistake, mate. No, to be honest with you. Right, good luck, Dan.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, hit the thumbs up button to wish me a bit of luck.
Yeah, I'll see you in 2 weeks.